All right, while you're standing, turning your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. Thank you, Brother Brunson, for the message. I don't know where you're at right now. Okay. Anyway, but thank you for the message. What a blessing. And look at that. Let me just say this in a not to brag on me, but years ago, when we went to Kansas in 1993 as church planters, and I needed to trade vehicles, or I convinced myself that I did, as usually happens. And so in 1996, we bought a 95 Caprice, financed it through GMAC, and we traded a vehicle in on it and financed it. And while I'm making payments, and I've always hated to make a car payment. I don't know why. I've just hated to make a car payment. And Brother Don Jackson was a missionary with the Gospel Preacher Association, and he was the missions director for a while. And he said at an orientation to missionaries, he said, if a person, when you're making payments on a car, he said, if you'll just hang on to that car, if it's something that you can, he said, if you'll just hang on to that car and make your payments, and when you get that car paid for, don't turn around and trade it in like a lot of people do. He said, but just keep paying yourself just like you was paying GMAC. He said, put that money back and put it in the bank, and just every month, like you was making your payment. Yep. And he said, hang on to that for a while. And he said, you should be able, by the time that you need a car, you should be able to buy one without financing it. Right. And I thought, you know, that would work.
Yep.
I considered
my
ways.
Right.
And so that's what I done. And since then, we have never had a car payment.
Amen.
Since then, we've been able to we buy. I've went in dealerships having the amount of money that I'm going to buy, that I'm going to spend, and if I can't find the car that I want with the amount of money that I'm going to spend, I just leave.
Yep.
That's what I tell them. I was buying one $20,000, and they got to figuring it up, and they was putting the taxes and this and that. And I said, "Well, wait a minute, we've got a problem." I said, "When I walked in this office, I told you I had $20,000 that I'm going to buy this that I'm going to buy a car with," and it'd been we had saved that over years,
right.
And he said, "Yeah, but we got these taxes." I said, we've got a problem. I've got $20,000, and I'm not going in debt.
Yep.
This is what I've got, and you can. He said, "Well, I'd have to talk to." I said, "Talk to anybody you want to. I'll do anything you want to. When you get it figured out to where that I can write you a check for $20,000, I'll buy the car, or I'll keep on looking."
Yep.
And we drove the car home. And I'm not bragging on what we have. You understand? I'm just saying, if you'll put yourself, we have a granddaughter that homeschools her children. They have a one income family, and they paid their house off 7 years after they was married. They have no indebtedness.
Amen.
Because they just knuckled down and said, we're going to do what we need to do.
Right.
And the reason he told my granddaughter, her husband told my granddaughter, he said, I want us to get out of debt so if God calls us to go somewhere, we won't have anything to hold us back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 4. Can I change gears? I'm trying to. Anyway, John chapter 4, verse 35. Well, let me read verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now this is just a little thought that I want to give you, and then I'll read verse 35 and bring you the message that God's placed upon my heart. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, that was the Lord Jesus, and as he said this, and I've got written in my Bible an appetite for the right thing. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. If we don't have an appetite to do the right thing, the things that Brother Brunson preached to us and said, consider your ways, it'll just be like water off of a duck's back, and we'll go away unchanged. And these missions meetings won't mean very much to you. You may get stirred up and emotionally. But if you've got an appetite for the things of God, it'll make a difference in your life. And we need that. We really do. Listen, I hear these, the brother as he tells about the scriptures and how we need the Word of God. The Word of God's what's going to get the job done. Brother Brunson talked about truth and everything like that. I kept thinking, God said, thy word is truth.
Amen.
Not true, but truth. You measure what's right and wrong by the word of God. Thy word is truth. It needs to be around the world. All right, now listen to what Jesus says here, and I'll bring you the message and get out of the way, and we'll go eat. Verse 35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Father, I bow in your presence tonight to thank you again for the blessings of the Lord. Thank you for each one that has come tonight. Lord, it's been a blessing these days to renew acquaintances with different people to the glory of God, and just to fellowship with your people and to enjoy the things. I thank you, Lord, for the way that this church works as we see it, like a well-oiled machine, even when the troubles come, like the coffee pot won't work and all of these different things. And Lord, I thank you that somebody steps up and goes the second mile and carries that extra load of water as is needed because the camels need some water. Father, I thank you for what's been done and what is being done. I thank you, Lord, for the expense of this meeting, Lord, that this church has taken on. I thank you, Father, for each one that has come. Lord, for the messages that has been preached thus far. Someone has studied and prepared themselves and spent time before you, and I thank you for it. And I pray, God, that we won't squander it. We'll use it to the glory of God to help us and to further the cause of Christ. Thank you, Father, for those that are here tonight. Use me as I preach for a little while to the glory of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus said, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I got a missions quote, and I have not got a who said it. But somebody said, God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And when the church ceases to be mission-minded or mission-hearted, they've denied the faith and betrayed its trust.
That's right.
And God's given us a work. Jesus said, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Amen.
And so there's, we think of things, Brother Brunson talked about how that those Israelites were interested in the things of theirs. They were living in sealed houses when the house of God was not finished. And we are inclined to do all kinds of things because that's what we want, and we want to be, we want to satisfy our lust, if you will, and all of this, and we want to give meagerly to the cause of Christ when the lost souls are hanging in the balances. I'm appreciative for the 31 years that we was able to spend in Kansas planting churches. We didn't step away because we lost the burden for church planting. We stepped away because of age and health. And so when I say that, I guess I should back up and say we really didn't step away because of that. We prayed about what God would have us to do. We prayed just like we did when before that we went to Kansas and we spent time together. My wife and I, we spent time together praying. We spent time, we fasted and we prayed and we sought God. And I did not make a decision of what we was going to do or where we was going to live until God had settled it in my heart. Amen. And then we went on from there. Now, having said that, we have not retired. I went into some churches and they've said since the shepherds retired. Listen, we've made 4 trips back to Kansas this year, and all besides the other things. When we leave here, we're going back home for a week, then we're going to Pennsylvania, and I'll be in 3 different churches there, including the GPA Missions Conference. And I'm appreciative of God helping. We've been able to do much more than we expected that we were going to be able to do. God says, He's renewed my strength, in some ways. And I want to tell you something. I don't want to quit until He calls me home. And when I die, I heard somebody else say this, and I mean this. When I die, I want to die with unfulfilled dreams.
Amen.
I want you to think about that. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Don't you want to, everything that you dream of and want to see done for God, don't you want to do every bit of that before you leave? Well, what I'm saying is, I want to leave planning to do something else if He lets me live. And until He calls me home, I want to keep on doing what He wants to do. Brother Chim Sock said, told me at back in North Carolina that he was planning to invite my son and grandson back. They went 17 years ago, 18 years ago, I believe it was. They went over there and they're planning to go back. And I smiled and said, maybe I won't be too old to come this time. Amen. And so I appreciate the Lord's blessings. But listen, let me give you these. I'm just going to give you these 4 things. I know you're tired and all of this and nothing. I believe the will of God has been done today in these meetings. The Lord's blessed and the Lord's helped. And let me just give you these things if I can. I want to give you 4 reasons for missions. 4 reasons for missions. You can add on these things. I'm just going to say a few words about each one of these. Number one, and it's very elementary, very simple. Why give to missions? Why go on mission trips? Listen, if you've never been on a short-term mission trip, every young person here ought to plan to go somewhere on a mission trip. They ought to plan to go somewhere. I read Joshua and his siblings a little book that's out there on that table when they was out in Kansas. We was living in Lindsborg. And I read them as bedtime stories and to calm them down, you know, because of the excitement of being out there so they could sleep and we could too. And so I read them the little book called The Price of a Coconut. You ought to read that book. And but anyway, I read it. When he was in college, I didn't know what effect it had on him. But I learned when he was in college that he wrote a book, and his mama called me and read me. He wrote a thing in literature, and his mama called me and read us the I don't know where you even know this or not, but read him the story that he wrote. His story said he was in a community college, Wilkes Community College, and he wrote this. He said a little book that led to a trip around the world. That was the trip to Cambodia. He got interested in people. He's still interested in people. You know, he does the missions moment and all of this. Made a little trip, but he heard a little book and all of this. And these things just rolled on and rolled on. I don't understand how he does it all. I don't understand how he's got access to a CIA. What do you call that? Fact book, yeah. To where that he can tell you all of these different things about all these different countries. I don't remember them, but I hear him say them and all of this, and it reminds me. Listen, and he does all of that because souls are dying. They're dying lost. Dying lost by the multitudes. That's why missions? Because souls are dying. And can I tell you something? Without the Word of God, without they hear the Word of God, they'll die lost and undone without God. And they'll suffer forever under the wrath of God in the lake of fire if we do not reach them. You've heard it said, and I've said it, the gospel is the good news. But friends, I want to tell you something. The gospel's only the good news to a lost person if we get it to them in time. Amen. If we don't get it to them in time, they'll be like the rich man wanting somebody to go to the other, to his five brethren, but they won't get any benefit from it. The gospel, it's important that we get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Number two, a reason for missions is because Jesus said for us to go. It's already been quoted, and that should be enough. That should be enough. He said it in the scriptures at the first wedding feast of Cana. Mary came to Jesus and said, they are out of wine. And Jesus said some things back to her. And so she just said to those servants, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. That's the best advice that could be given to anyone. Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And so he said it, we ought to be about it. Listen, in John chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10, would you look there with me for just a moment? Luke chapter 10, let me read you, and I may read it before you get there, but let me read verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, and of course this is Jesus, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you know I just read to you the only prayer request of the Lord Jesus Christ while he's upon the earth? He just said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He's making requests of them that they pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. And should we not be about the very prayer request, the very thing upon the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was not bogged down because he's going to die on the cross. He's burdened for the lost souls. And he said, pray for laborers. Send forth laborers into the field. I said every young person ought to go to the mission field. 1984, I'd already pastored one church and then had started Vision Baptist Church in 1979. And then in 1984, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip. I worked a full-time job, And so I had an opportunity to go, and I took time to go. Another neighboring pastor was getting some things together, and he and I went over to White Plains and talked to Brother Carl Lackey, and he told us that we could have 13 seats on that old 40-some model Greyhound bus that they had remodeled and put things in the back. Listen, you ain't ever rode until you rode with fellows like that. They changed drivers going down the road at 70 miles an hour back in '84. They changed drivers. He'd put one foot there and he'd step over like that, and the other would get a hold of the steering wheel and slide in under him. Listen, I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't sleep much on that trip. But we went. It cost us $100 to pay for that, and we carried our own food with us and all that, and Brother Lackey said, whatever's left over the expenses of paying the fuel and everything, whatever's left, we'll leave with the missionaries down in Mexico. And so I had an opportunity to go. I came back with such a burden. Listen, we stopped in the street, and some of them began to give out tracts. The driver of a van that we was in, and the school kids was coming, and they would reach over to others, and one would say something, and I couldn't understand a word of Spanish, like maybe taco or something like that, but at that time, and I still can't, but I want to tell you, I was sitting in that, and I was watching them, and I asked the missionary's teenage son. I said, what are they saying? They're saying, can I have one for grandma? Or can I have one for grandpa? Or can I have one for my uncle? Can I have one for my aunt? And I'd never seen anybody hungry for the word of God. I don't know where it's because it's the word of God, or whether it's a piece of literature or whatever it was, but that got a hold of me till I couldn't sit in that van. I rolled out of there, got me a handful of tracks, and started doing the same thing. And I come back, and my wife knows it. I was so burdened, and so I'd never seen anything like it. I wanted to reach people for God. And sometimes in our churches we see that they're half asleep when you're preaching on the crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people said, can I have one for somebody else? They probably didn't understand. Listen, when you hear Brother Chim Sock's testimony, it'll stir you. It did me again. But I come back with such a burden. My wife thought we was going to Mexico. Excuse me. My wife thought I was going to Mexico. But I want to tell you, and there's more truth in that than just just lightheartedness. But God never called me to Mexico, but I still have a burden. You see, there's a difference in a burden and a call.
Right.
And I don't have time to get into all that tonight. But I want to tell you, on July the 4th, 1990, there's a geographic call came into my life that I got ready to go to Kansas, and so did my wife.
Amen.
And we were thrilled to go.
Amen.
And we didn't know anybody there. But by the time we got there, God had already got ahead of us.
Amen.
And we never went to a town, but there was not somebody there that was waiting for what we had.
Amen.
You see, when you follow the call of God, you ought to go.
Yeah.
You say, I'm afraid to go. Afraidy cat. Listen, we all ought to go. We ought to do something for God. Do what we can to the glory of God. So souls are dying lost. Jesus said for us to go. And Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. Listen, we don't have time to wait around. Man, you see all of these things that are going on around the world, and you wonder, how could all of this be happening so quickly and everything? And how could all this, we see all of the things that are ready, and we see all of the things that just another step or two, it looks like, that the Lord Jesus Christ has to come in the rapture and we're caught out. And then it's too late for us to go. We can't go. Listen, we rejoice about that. And when we hear the preaching and when we preach it and when we think about it and when we read in the scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and about us going to heaven and the glorious time we're going to have and everything, and we rejoice down here and everything, but then we think, but those that we don't reach for Christ won't go with us. I've got friends and I've got loved ones that I want to see go too. Now I can't make them. I've told people, and this would be the honest truth, if I could make people get saved, I'd pull my gun on them. No, I don't have a gun now, but I'm talking about that I'd use force. You talk about compelling them, but we can't do that. But we do have something that'll draw them. And we need to take the Word of God to a lost and dying world, across the street and across the sea, around the world. We need to take the gospel, and we need to do it while we can. Number four, and I'll be through. That's the three reasons that I'm giving you. This fourth one is not actually a reason, but it kind of explains things. Missions is a faith endeavor. It is a partnership. It is a partnership between us and God. It's a partnership between us and churches. It's a partnership between the church and God. Some will go when some will give. Everybody ought to give. Everybody ought to pray. And everybody ought to go. I have said some ought to give and some ought to pray and then some ought to go. But actually, it's everyone that is supposed to do all of this. That's supposed to do all of this. Listen, when the years that we was on the field and even in Kansas, we never used a penny of our tithe on the churches that we started in Kansas. We did not use that money. If we needed to, we used the money that had come in for our support. But we did not use our tithe. We tithed off of the top. We sent it to our local church, and we participated in Faith Promise. Two men, my son Farrell and Brother Gray, both have been my pastors in the time that I was out there, and I believe that they could attest to the fact that we was faithful to tithe and faithful to give in Faith Promise. And then we gave a church offering out there. And also we participated in Faith Promise out there. And that way, by presenting Faith Promise, we did not take monies from that church. We didn't take a salary because we were sent and we were members of a church. Listen, a missionary is a sent one. He has to have a sending church. He should be under authority of that church. And friends, today he should be in contact with that church. And as we did that, then what we did was we taught them that we are sending our tithe home because that's our home church. That's our sending church. And we taught them, you should tithe to the church that you're a member of, and you should give beyond that a church offering, a Faith Promise offering, and all of that. And it freed up the money. We didn't, you see, since we was not taking a salary, when that money started coming in, it began to accumulate a little bit after a while. And so we just put that money back, and we'd tell our churches, this is money so that when you get a pastor, what we're really doing, we're starting early to pay a pastor. so that you won't be a welfare church, so that you won't be dependent on somebody else to do what you can do yourself. I heard a man say years ago, and I agree 100% with it, the way to keep your people poor is to teach them they're too poor to give. Too poor to give. I was preaching in church by an interpreter, and I was preaching on missions. And every time that I said missions in this foreign country, the translator said in English, everything else was in another language, but when I would say missions, he'd say missions money. Missions money. And after about the third time, I stopped a moment and I said, I need to stop just a moment and talk with you, since he understood English, or I thought he did. And I said, you keep saying missions money. And he said, yes. I said, I'm not talking about money that's coming from America to help you. Yes, that is, and it's a blessing to be able to do that, and I understand that. But I said, I'm talking about missions. I'm talking about you people reaching other people to the glory of God. I'm not talking about just giving. I'm talking about going. And so I hope that got the message across. I want to tell you today, missions is a faith endeavor.
Amen.
Some people are willing to go.
Yep.
But some people has to be willing to give for them to go.
Amen.
Listen, I don't believe in being a missionary.
Right.
As the old saying is. I got a letter one time. When I was starting the third church out in Kansas, and I got a letter from one of my supporting churches, because I had written in my prayer letter that God was blessing our missions program, and we had been able to take on 3 more missionaries, and this fellow took exception with that, and he said a church should not support a missionary at all. They should not support a missionary until their pastor was full time. He said their pastor is their first missionary. Well, you see, I've said that. But it's not right. That pastor is a pastor. He does the work of an evangelist, but he's not a missionary. He's not a sent one in one sense. I know we ordain your pastor and send him out. I had the privilege to call for his ordination, and when he was taking my place as the pastor of Vision Baptist Church, when the church called him after I resigned. And that was a blessing. But I want to tell you today that in the strictest sense of the word, it is the missionaries that are sent. And since they are the sent one and sent ones, and so they have to have a sender. And as we look at these things, then the missionary, the missions is a partnership between one that'll go and a church that'll send.
Amen.
And I could get into a lot of other things. I've got some things, and I thought about preaching this, but I didn't feel like it was the right time. I felt like this was it, and I'm trying to finish up here with all of that. But I'll tell you, there is some problems in missions today.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to a man in this congregation tonight some years ago, and I made the statement to him. I said, I don't know where we'll ever get missions back to like really the Bible teaches and everything. It's got spread out.
Yep.
But there is some problems in missions.
Right.
Can I mention 2 of them? And I may preach this later, so I won't do everything. But one of them is people need to be trained before they go. And missionaries need to stay in touch, and they're still under the authority of their sending church. That's just 2 things. And so I look at this, there's the missionary, there's the church, and there's God. And laboring together, 1 Corinthians 3:9, that's the verse that God gave me in this new endeavor for us. It says, for we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
On Saturday afternoons, I've got a radio program here on WSOM, and I entitled it, Laboring Together with God. He said, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. And I can't preach that message tonight, but I want to tell you today, when you look at those things, we are laborers together. And I look at it like this. I believe that's the teaching. He talked about, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. People, the missionaries, the pastors, the churches, Christians, we are laborers together with God. And basically it's under God, but we are laborers together with God. We do what God tells us to do. God gives the increase. It's not that we're gonna be able to receive a crown or a reward for reaching 75 souls or 75,000 souls or whatever. We are laborers together. Some praise and we'll never go to the field. But I want to tell you today that that God will divide it out in the way that it needs to be, because we're laborers together, but He's the one to get the glory. We're laborers together with Him. Three things, three words. Why missions? Because of them, the lost. Because of Him, our Savior. And because of then, eternity is long. While you and I rejoice in heaven to the glory of God, those that we have not reached, eternity will just be as long for them. But they won't have the joy and bliss and the glory that we have. But forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever, without any end, they'll be in the lake of fire. So because of them, because of Him, and because of then, that's the reason for missions. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.